सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। इन् द तैत्रीय आरण्यक मेनी प्लेसेस् the mantra that has come, which many of you know and have been chanting it, nakarmanana prajayadhanena tyage naike amrutatvamanashuh. On the funnier side, sometimes that mantra is, you know, taught by listening through, you know, audio, CD and other things you learn, and we do the Purna Kumbha with that. Everybody is very sincerely doing it, and if that mantra is not paused at the right moment, it is very difficult to maintain a serious face. Because sometimes I have heard people chant that same mantra, Om Nakarmana Na Prajayadhane Na Tyage Naike Amrutatva Manashuhu. The whole meaning goes for a toss. How should it be read? Nakarmana Na Prajayadhane Na Tyage Naike Amrutatva Manashuhu. A simple meaning is Nakarmana Na Prajaya Na Dhane Na Tyage Naike Amrutatva Manashuhu. Neither by wealth, nor by action, nor by progeny, that immortality can be ascertained, can be firmly abided in. It is only by tyaga. Tyaga, by complete renunciation. But if you don't break it at the right, pause at the right time, what will it mean? You cannot attain that immortality through karma, through progeny, through renunciation, but you can attain through that immortality only through wealth. Dhane eva na tyage naike. So in that mantra, na karmana, not by action, that one simple statement seems to be taken for discussion in the first 25 shlokas or so of Rama Gita. Just to understand that one first part of that mantra, na karmana. Because there is so much emphasis in our day-to-day life, not from just in this generation, but for eternity, that we have been conditioned always to look forward for putting various kinds of efforts and to expect immortality through that. So there have been various efforts of people who have embalmed their royal ones, hoping that way they could find immortality. They've recently, even in through the science, they have put them in some kind of environment. Is it an iced environment or no? Cryogenic. That whenever the technology is ready, they'll be bringing them out and thaw them out, probably. Put them in a microwave, thaw them, and then insert life in. I don't know. There is that effort to find immortality has been there from Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu time till now. They also, poor fellow, had thought that he had a flawless boon to ask. First of all, he asked, "May I live eternally through this body?" Brahmaji said, "Out of syllabus. That which you are asking, I cannot give you. So please ask something else." So Hiranyakashipu said, "I knew. You are going to tell like this. I knew that." Therefore, he had designed a boon. He must have spent a lot of time on it. So he said, "I should not die inside or outside." Brahmaji had come, knowing that it is Hiranyakashipu, he had come with Saptarishis. In other words, the CPA. What does the CPA do? If anybody is here, the CPA, maaf karna. There are laws and their job is to find flaws. And then save the tax money. That is what. So similarly, the Saptarishis were brought in to find flaws in Hiranyakashipu's clauses. So the inside outside, he quickly glanced at the Saptarishis. They said, "Okay, there is a flaw." They say tathastu. So he said, "Tathastu." Neither up nor down. He quickly glanced. They said, again, say tathastu. So for every clause that he thought, they were there immediately next to him, saying that, you know, this is not a complete one. And since then, it has been like an eternal quest to find that immortality through various actions, various kinds, through this body, through various avenues. Na karma, the conditioning of karma, and to find that immortal happiness or bliss through karma has been a very elusive environment. And that has to be deconditioned. If the premise of this is understood, Bhagavan takes that merciless discussion into it, and it's going to be very raw Vedanta in its most. I'll try to make it as palatable and easy to understand, but it's going to be a tough one to take a bite on. So get your teeth and claws ready to take a good bite at it. कल के बाद वी हैड कंप्लीटेड द 9th वन. ओके. नाज्ञान हानिर्न च राग संक्षयः भवेत् ततः कर्म सदोषमुद्भवेत्. ततः पुनः संस्मृतिरप्यवारिता तस्माद् बुधो ज्ञान विचारवान् भवेत्. इज द मेन प्रॉब्लम और इश्यू इज अज्ञान. Ajnana of what? We saw yesterday. It is not of some external sciences or external vastu. It is ajnana of one's own true nature. Because jnana and ajnana of anything outside, the knowing and the not knowing of it, there is something else which illumines both aspects. whose nature is of the illumination. लगता है पहला बोनसर गया. What do you see on my hand? It is not a trick question, a simple question. So answer straightforward. What is on my hand? What is on my hand? You know that you perceived the watch, and now you also know that you are perceiving the absence of it. Similarly, inside, there is an understanding of something. You know that you understood something. You did not understand something. Today it will be quite obvious. You did not understand something. And you also know that aspect of not understanding something. Right? That knower of both understanding or the lack of understanding is verily the nature of knowledge. Verily the nature of illumination. And we do not perceive or interact with the world from that perspective, from that standpoint, all through. Ignorant of that illumining factor within, we behave as a mind, we behave as an intellect, we behave as a body. And then that which we relate through this body, mind and intellect to the world around. Gurudev used to say, the perceiver, the feeler, the thinker. He used to dramatize those words again and again and again. You become these. That is called bhava, samsara, which we saw yesterday. Through the body, I become the perceiver. Through the emotions, I become the feeler. Through the intellect, I become the thinker. So constantly there is becoming. Don't get distracted. They are trying to find unison through dance. If I am not wrong, that is what it is. So redirect, focus. Already it is a subtle topic. मन वैसे भी थाता तैया करता है, ऊपर से एक और थाता तैया तो गया ऊपर. Okay, refocus. So that aspect of knowledge, the illumination, which is the very nature of the core of existence, that we are ignorant of. And that ignorance is the basic cause of all miseries and misapprehensions. That I behave as the body, I behave as the mind, I behave as the intellect, and the various modifications thereof. So much so that the identification is so strong that what you are, when you are recognized of what you are, even at a physical level, we get very angry. As young as, you know, psychologically, you go call a small kid, 4 or 5 years old, a little fellow, come here. How would that little fellow react? I am not little, I am a big boy now. Achha. Okay, you wanted to be big. Now you are big. And then if somebody calls you old man, come here. I am not old, I am young at heart. Decide for yourself. Why do you always get confused? When you are young, you wanted to be old. When you are old, now you want to be young. At a physical level, the chronological age. And we do all kinds of gymnastics to hide that. Right? Hair, eyes. And I don't like my glasses there, you know. So therefore, what do you call that? Contacts also is LASIK. And when they are sitting at a close friend, you'll see that there is a spark in their eyes. Have you seen that? Those who do the LASIK. Because of the artificial lens inside, there's a refraction that happens. So you observe their eyes and you say, oh, okay. They're starry-eyed. So they change. And one by one, the wickets fall. So there's still some, so you pull that also out and then replace. Every part, there's one functionality aspect of it, I do understand. But most of it is cosmetic than functionality. We behave as the body and the modification of the body. If you are black, you cannot be called as black. If you are brown, you cannot be called as brown. If you are white, you can. They take it as to offense. And look at our all deities and gods. And the best one that I almost have to maintain my straight waist while doing Ashtotra Shatanamavali is Bhagwan Ganesha. Lambodaraya Namaha. Lambodaraya means pot-bellied one. Vakratundaya Namaha. Usually the tunda is straight, yours is vakra, crooked one. Ekadantaya Namaha. I got really mad. My dad got mad at me when I asked that question. That dad, when it says Ekadantaya Namaha, does it mean the one who has lost one tooth or the one who is left with one tooth, one tusk? Said, you are a Vakrabuddhi now. Focus! I was very innocently asking. So, Ekadantaya Namaha. Usually the elephants have two tusks and he has left with only one. Shurpakarnaya Namaha. Everybody has normal ears. His is like Shurpa. Shurpa is like the sieve, right? We do the winnowing. What do they say it in Hindi? Kya bolte usko? Soup. Same thing. Yeah, that is in Telugu. So you are from Telugu background. Don't say it to Malayali. In Malayalam, when you say chata, it means brother. What's that? As long as it is not a bad word, yes. There are so many words when you cross, go into different languages. Meanings change. Anyway, getting back to the point. Shurpakarna, somebody who has a big ears. Everything seems to be poking fun at him. Vamanaya Namaha, you are not a very huge form, you are very short. But every word becomes aradhya, worship worthy. Because he has transcended that bodily limitations. For us, the same things becomes insult. You call somebody old and try. Take it, do it at your own risk. Who says I am old? I am young at heart. So really? Were we talking about the heart? Probably that is where they have the stunt of the age is because of the stent inside the heart. It makes you feel younger. Anyway, the physical level and its modification. The emotional level and its modification. Hey Rama. Every moment it changes. And every modification that the internal emotion take and I start behaving as if I am that modification. There's a sad thought, I become sad. There's a bad thought, I become bad. There's a mad thought, I become mad. There's a glad thought, by mistake, I become glad. It depends on the moods. And therefore it is called mood swings. I love that word again. Half of the word I understand in Sanskrit, the other half in English. Who swings? Moodah Sphinx. Therefore, it is Moodh Sphinx. So we become that modification. Intellectually, the various decisions, ideas, and convictions, they keep changing. You ask somebody who is, say, 5 to 8 year old, what do you want to become? I don't know, they have these kids have this fascination. Boys and girls, I want to be the trash pickup van driver. Many of these kids have that fascination. A trash pickup driver. Okay, fine. Then after a while, they mature a little, and then you ask, what do you want to become? They say, I want to become a teacher. Because they have that influence. Then they see a cop movie or a soldier movie. I want to become a soldier. And finally, where do we end up? Sometimes it is hilarious that what we have studied or what we have educated ourselves and what we work as, there is no connection. Somebody who has done business analysis becomes a medical representative, nothing to do with it. And somebody who has done architecture is the one writing codes for various IT companies. There's nothing to do with either. What do you want to become? It keeps changing. Convictions keep changing. So at every level, there is that identification, and the identification is extended to all modifications that it undergoes. That the basic root cause of all these is the ignorance of one's own true nature. Unless this ignorance is removed, and he says, na ajnana hanihi na cha raga samkshayah bhavet tatah karma sadosham udbhavet. With actions, you can neither remove the ignorance nor remove the attachments. Instead, it is seen that it increases both the conditionings into the ignorance as well as attachments. Actions increase that. Wherever we were introduced to, we start getting conditioned. Even at a physical level. How many of you have lived in Atlanta for more than 10 years? Wow. Many of you. So when you go back to India in summer, can you tolerate that summer? It was from that very place where you grew up. And now you come here, you get conditioned. And that is the most physical example that can be given about conditioning. A subtler example. Have you ever had an opportunity to travel in... I have not traveled in that mode, but they say in a cruise ship. Or in a train. For more than a couple of days. There was this particular train which was called Himsagar. From Sagar, Kanyakumari, all the way to Jammu Tawi. There is a train. It's called Himsagar. And if you take that train in the middle of summer, that is when we used to attend Gurudev's camps in Siddhavari. And it would take a totally different name. Himsagar. Because it is a tin sheet, and it would be baking inside. And you sit in that for 3 days and 3 nights, and you get off at Patankot, and you get into a taxi to get to Siddhavari. And you are in a taxi, you know it, physically you know that. But then, inside the sensation or feeling is, you feel that. That movement is felt. You know that you are not moving, but that conditioning, just by mere physical presence in that kind of conditioning for 3 days and 3 nights, there is an association created, and that association is carried forward even when you are not in that environment. Now imagine the association by living as body, mind, and intellect, as intimately as we behave as body, mind and intellect, what kind of conditioning we get into and what kind of ignorance that we are into to believe the conditioning that I am this body, mind and intellect. The karma, what does it do? It increases the attachment to this body, mind and intellect. Instead of trying to find a solution to get beyond, we try to glamorize the body, mind and intellect. Because our association is with that, it has to be presentable. Therefore, I start glamorizing it at every single opportunity that I get. Various methods of glamorization. I don't need to go into that details. Sometimes, it's a very pathetic psychological pattern that you see. When somebody is trying to narrate about their own ill health, we glamorize that also. If somebody says, I've been having severe migraine since morning. What to talk about your migraine? I have been having my hip pain for the past 1 week. Even a competition in ill health. That is the kind of ignorance and the behaving of that conditioning of being that body, mind and intellect. So, sadosham udbhavet. What does this karma do? It increases that attachment rather than removing it. Tatav punaha samsrutihi api varita. And it does not promise to remove this samsara, the act of becoming. It only strengthens it more and more. Tasmat buddha, therefore the intelligent one. This defines two ways. Those who do this are called intelligent, or those who have done it are called intelligent. So you can only put yourself into those two categories. Those who are wise and those who are otherwise. Either or. There cannot be in between. So what is the wise or wisdom here? Tasmad buddha jnana vicharavan bhavet. Those who are intelligent, they focus on getting to that wisdom, that knowledge of self-illumination. And transcend the identifications of this body, mind and intellect. Because the one who has become independent of this body, mind and intellect can function through body, mind and intellect and be the most positive, productive person without any hidden agenda. Presently, every single act of ours has an hidden agenda and the ego knows it best. Everything that we do or don't, there is a hidden agenda. There's something underlying. What we present as what we do and what we actually end up doing, the reason for which we do what we do. And you know the difference, right? When the kids come, Mommy, I love you. You are the greatest. You are like, huh, what do you want? Such overflowing love, or the expression of your overflowing love, comes in only when there is a need or a demand. No, seriously. Cough it up. What do you want? Well, if you put it so bluntly, what can I say? No, I just was thinking that my friends are all in a meeting there and we'll go for a movie and then, what do you call that, spending a night? Sleepover. How many times have I told you? No, I know, but Ekdam maska lagate hain. And you know that. At least this is harmless. Every interaction, human interaction, there's a constant calculation. Somebody seen you, not seen you. Somebody recognized you, not recognized you. Somebody smiled at you, somebody did not smile. And everything can become a problem. Somebody has seen you can become a problem. Somebody has not seen you can become a problem. Somebody smiled at you. And I was there and not even a smile. That can become a problem. And they smiled at you. In front of everybody, she was smiling at me. Are? You do your damn, you don't your damn. That's a constant calculation. Kitch, pitch, kitch, pitch, kitch, pitch, kitch, pitch, kitch, pitch, kitch, pitch, happening. Am I accepted? Am I not accepted? Am I rejected? Am I validated? Am I not valid? Constant. And that is where we are. And you can see it in the eyes. There's constant pressure. Whereas a child, you look at their eyes, younger than 2 year old. After that, they start calculating. Chore is. Before that age, there's such innocence beaming forth. There is no calculation. It's only after that then we start calculating. The reason I say 2 years, a 2 year old knows, you try this. If the child falls, you turn your head away or move out of that place. He'll get up and then look for somebody to show and cry. Just crying doesn't matter. No. He needs that TLC. Tender love and care. That attention. Wherever you are, whatever room that you are, he'll come and show that and then start crying. Hua ki nahi calculation? It looks cute. But the sad thing is, the same pattern is continued by the so-called adults. We have grown vertically and horizontally, but not internally. The same mindset, same pattern continues. That is called Ajnana. Buddha, those intelligent ones, focus on getting beyond these calculative efforts. Getting beyond this Ajnana. Because Ajnana is the Moola Karana. And karma cannot clean up this Ajnana. As darkness cannot be removed, Asatoma Sadgamaya, Tamasoma Mrityorma. These are very knowledgeable ones. You know it already. That ignorance can be removed only through knowledge. Darkness can be removed only through light. And this very concept is taught to the Balavihar kids, whether they understand or not, whether the parents understand or not, in the very second shloka of what they are introduced to, right from kindergarten or even earlier. Ajnana, Timira, Andhakara. How do you remove them? Jnana Anjana Shalakaya. There are no other methods. But in the name of spirituality, that also becomes quite a gymnastic. Instead of an effort to cleanse oneself from within, it becomes a platform for the ego to proclaim. Instead of coming into this environment of spirituality to grow beyond all limitations, we create limitations even in this field. That is why this ego is the most dangerous thing. Gurudev used to say, if you have ego on one hand and a black cobra on the other hand, which one should you trust? Again, whose ego are we talking about? My own ego and a black cobra. He said, trust the black cobra, it will bite you only once. Whereas the ego, it is such a malware. It's a virus. Okay. Any system that you initiate to annihilate that ego, it identifies with it, becomes one with it, and starts feeding off of that also. You know, the japa has to be done. To streamline our focal point. And the ego starts feeding off of that japa process also. Swamiji, I have become very, very religious and spiritual. I spend half an hour japa. Bend ones. I see two tiny horns. Kya ukhad liya? The whole purpose of it is to go beyond that calculation, but it becomes the platform for creating a subtler ego, a sattvic ego, that I am now better than, earlier would have been a better statement, better than the rest of them, you know. They come to the mission, there is no change in them, but I am trying to change. Achha. Gurudev, one person came and said, Swamiji, I have read Bhagavad Gita 16 times. And Gurudev did not even look at him and said, has Bhagavad Gita gone through you even once? Even 1 ounce of it has gone through you? You may have gone through it. Then it becomes another platform, a trophy. Sometimes even the acharyas, I mean the swamis and acharyas. Swamiji, kitne log aaye the? Because the glory of that swami depends on how many number of people have attended. I have known Gurudev in certain situations. In Michigan, they were telling me some story wherein he arrived. The janitor who had to open the school did not come on time. It was Michigan in winter times, you can go cold. Even this weather here is cold for me. It must be really bone-biting cold. Right there on the parking lot, he sat down and started Om and started Upanishad class. And those who were there attending, should we in this cold? I think I'll pass today. There are those four or five of them. It doesn't matter. They're sincere ones. You put your sincere effort to show. But then the identification again in this layer. And here we have come to cleanse that. But instead we make this platform of it as a trophy. And another observation that I see. It's very amazing. The acharyas or the swamis speak in English. Right? But whatever is their language, people from that background start attending it more, though they are speaking in English. What psychology? If there is a Gujarati Swami, there will be a lot of Gujaratis but listening in English. Hamara Swami che. If there is a Malayali Swami, Swami. Telugu, Manaswami. Again, the identification is to go beyond, the platform is to be used to go beyond. Instead, we create this as a trophy for the ego to be sustained again and again. So here, there are people who are totally glued, caught up in the path of action. They have strong objections. So the next three shlokas, 11, 12 and 13, are the objections of this, those who are deeply tied down and conditioned to the karma. So what do they say? ननु क्रिया वेद मुखे न चोदिता तथैव विद्या पुरुषार्थ साधनम् कर्तव्यता प्राण भृतः प्रचोदिता विद्या सहायत्वमुपैति सा पुनः ननु मीन्स ऑब्जेक्शन सर सो इट कुड बी वन ऑफ द students here being Lakshmana. Lakshmana must have asked, but then it must have been Ramchandraji himself putting it, saying there are some of them who talk this way also. What do they say? They say, Kriya Veda Mukhena Chodita Tathaiva Vidya Purushartha Sadhanam. Just as the Vidhi here means Vedas, that which gives us the do's and don'ts, that which guides us with do's and don'ts, Vidhiyate, that which gives us the rules and regulations. Therefore, Vedas are also known as Vidhi. So just as Vedas declare that knowledge is important, Vedas also declare that karma is also important. To make it very simple in understanding, you tell me, if I bring in a first grader and a 10th grader, who is better? That was the simple question. Now you think and answer. You are asking too many questions now. The question itself is wrong. You can only compare with that which are comparables. A first grade and a 10th grade cannot, they are not comparables. Even your older child and the younger child are not comparables. But we end up doing it. Learn from your younger brother. Is this what it is? We give same values to both of them, and you are like this and he is like this. Learn from it. Sharam aani chahiye. And do we do that kind of comparisons? You are not on record. I am on record. Just move your head or shake your head. You're like, you know, don't put us in this corner right now. We don't want to answer that. Sometimes silence is good enough an answer. Comparing a first grader and 10th grader is not a right comparison. Similarly, karma has its own place. But can karma give this ultimate moksha? It can never ever give moksha. Now again, what does moksha mean? Two aspects. Peace and happiness. Both. Can karma give that? Never. Though we all aim for that one thing, and that one thing alone, consistently, to be happy. Why have you all come here? Samiji, satsang mein punya milta hai. Okay, let me burst your bubble. Coming to satsanga, you don't get punya. What? You don't get punya? I thought so. What do we get then? We get an opportunity to expend punya. Punyasya paripakat satsangaha. When we have acquired lot of punya, many units of such punya, we get the opportunity to get into satsanga. So it's an avenue for spending that punya. You don't get punya. Hore. Chalte hain. You should have told us that first day itself. I thought I could put on some punya points in my diary and I can move forward. Satsanga is helping us to transcend both papa and punya. So we all come here in anticipation. Every action performed is in anticipation of something which takes us closest to that happiness. That is the anticipation. What we end up getting? So if asked, you know, how much of your life is, you know, joy and sorrow? many of them give a very technical answer. 50-50. But if you look at it, psychologically again analyzing it, it seems like joy comes and goes very fast. Sorrow seems to stay and linger for a while. So if you put a pendulum, right? Now the beauty of pendulum is, whatever time it takes to go on one side, it comes to the midpoint and it takes the exact time to go to the other side. Okay. If this side is happiness, and if this side is sorrow, and this is a pendulum, and we swing, life is swinging between these two, right? How do we feel? This is happiness. And then? This is how we feel. Constantly swinging. But what are you anticipating? So we try to change so many things. Maybe the environment is not good, therefore I am not happy. Therefore what? Change the country. Why are we all sitting here? At least that is how I look at. Why am I sitting here? Because you all came here. Otherwise, I would have been happy in India. You try to change the environment, change the country itself. Many times we sit on the coffee table and then we start discussing. And one of the discussion points is, how India is bad. Everything is polluted. Everything is corruption. Everything is there. Everything is there. My question to you is, having moved into this country, you don't have any problems? Yes, you may not have the same set of problems as you had there. By having moved here, don't you have problems at all? Don't look at me, it was a simple question. Some answer. Abhi tak answer nahi aaya, hase par zarur. There's a new set of problems again. See, there is a lamppost outside the ashram in Dallas. Every day morning when I go for jogging, and I stretch using that lamppost, I stretch my stretch exercises. So one day as I was stretching, the lamppost spoke to me. I said, Swami, you know, I see many people coming to you for counseling and, you know, sharing their sorrows. I feel like sharing mine with you. So I looked and I said, what do you have a problem? I said, what to tell you? Your next door neighbor, the old man, every single day, rain or shine, comes through this road, past me, with his dog. Samajh mein aaya? Thank you. There are some environments wherein they say, what did you mean? If you understood it, it is understood. That's it. Even a lamppost has its problems. We who are so dynamic and actively interacting with so many various factors, it is not to mean that we'll never have problems. Just because we are listening to Bhagavad Gita or going through various spiritual practices. Spiritual practices do not promise you of a vacuum wherein you will never have problems. It only gives us the balance to handle it efficiently. There is no magic wand there wherein, you know, suddenly everybody comes and then, you know. One day Guruji was in Flint. This was during one of his operations he has gone through. And it said, he had called a couple of us, you know, me, Girish ji, and others. He said, khana banao. So we had a good time that 1 month. And Guruji would order us, like in the morning, you know, aaj hame ye khane ka man hai. So we would go and cook that for him. So one day we were sitting, we were serving Guruji, and the TV was on. And there's some Indian channel. And in these Indian channels, you have all those, you know, Chamunda Swami, Ajmeri Baba, Mola something, and all those people, they talk about amulets, tawis, and are you sick, are you having depression, are you divorced, are you having bank problems, are you foreclosure, are you this. We have problem, we have solution for all your problems. Yeah, some kind of an amulet that we'll send and all your problems will be dissolved. And if you observed, all of them are based out of UK. Not Uttarkashi. United Kingdom. And each one for one religion. One is Muslim, one is Christian, one is Hindu. I believe, my take on it is, they must have been three brothers or four brothers working out of same apartment. Catering to different clientele. So Guruji looked at us and said, at that time my name was still Uddhav. Hey Uddhav, number lele jaldi. Patapat call kar. I was like, seriously? So I took my, nee, le. So I took down the number and I was still very hesitant. I said, should I not? What are you asking me to do right now? They said, if they have solution for everything in life, what are we doing here? Let us outsource our clientele. Nanu kriya veda mukhena chodita tathaiva vidya purushartha sadhanam. So when you talk about the karma and jnana, Vedas have prescribed both. But each one have their own standpoint. Each one have their own purposefulness. For moksha, jnana alone. Therefore, when you go even into Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, what is the Karma Sutra? Karma Sutra, the seed of Karma Yoga, is not in third chapter, it is in second chapter. Most of you know it. The moment I start saying it, you will say, ah, this one I know. Ah, see, I told you, very... Karmanyeva Adhikaraste. Do you all know that shloka? Thanks to B.R. Chopra. His Mahabharata serial used to start with that shloka. Karmanyeva Adhikaraste. Actions are our birthright. Ma phaleshu kadachana. But that which we are anticipating through actions, what are we anticipating? Happiness. Ma phaleshu kadachana. That which we are anticipating, you will never ever get. Then immediately our question is, then why the heck am I performing actions? If it is not going to give me what I need, why should I even perform? So Bhagavan says, hold on. In that frustration, don't give up actions. So there is a simple sutra to be understood. It is not a part of this text. I am just digressing a little, going a tangent a little, so that you understand the purposefulness of karma. So there is a formula. As simple as 2 plus 3 equals. You can check your lap, app. 2 plus 3 is? 5. Very good. Five minus what equals two? 3 from this side goes the other side. Very simple. similarly a formula for karma yoga. Karya plus karta equals karma. Act plus the actor, the doer, equals an action. So what do we have to do, or what do we learn to do? From the action, subtract the doer. So when you remove the doer, what remains? The act still remains. But what do? When we get utterly disgusted or frustrated, enough is enough. And for everybody, it seems very glamorous to join sannyas ashram. Every time they get frustrated, they threaten each other. If this continues, I'm going to Haridwar. As if somebody is waiting there eagerly, you know, aye. We are eagerly waiting only for you. It's a threat. Empty one, but it's a threat. If you continue like this, I'll go away. And the other half also saying, you've been saying it, when will you? Please. See, many of you are, you know, very silently shaking your head. If not to your head, at least with your eyes. Yes, that's true. Kartavyata pranabhrutaha prachodita vidyasahayatvam upaiti sa punaha. This is the karya plus karta equals karma. Karma cannot be given up. What Vedanta is trying to say is karya cannot be given up. Karma can be given up. But as the Vedas have prescribed very, they have emphasized on it that jnana leads to moksha and karma can be an a conduit, a support for performing all that which is required to get to moksha. This is one of the logics. Karma cannot be given up. It continues. Continuing the logic, they say, karma kritau dosham apishrutir jagau. Tasmat sada karyamidam mumukshuna. Nanu svatantra dhruvakarya karini. Vidya nakinchin manasapya pekshate. It says, Bhaiya, the scriptures have cautioned, karma akritau. If you do not perform actions, you will incur the sin of omission. A simple example that can be taken. Nitya karma cannot be given up. I'm putting it in as simple language as possible, okay? Here, Nitya karma includes all the Vedic rituals and other things. But I'm putting it in a way wherein you carry home the message of what Nitya karma means. Do you all brush your teeth? Thank you. Do you do it daily? Very good. I'm not asking foolish questions. I'm not ridiculing anything here. Very sincerely asking. You brush your teeth. What will happen if you give up your nitya karma? Sin of omission, what will happen? You will be walking, talking, interacting, human repellent. In India, you have mosquito repellent. You will be the human repellent. Baap re ye aaya. Daant bhi saaf nahi karta. Right? That is the first sin of omission. If you repeat it for a while, my brother, when he was young, he had a very strange argument. I don't know how my parents handled both of us. Two akrabuddhis. So he would say, have you seen a tiger or a lion or every day going with a brush in the morning? And my dad used to call him as, you know, tu sher hai. Like you are the lion of the family, the most courageous one, something like that. Laad se bulate the. And he says, if I am sher, if I am that lion, I will not take bath, I will not brush my teeth. Why? Lions don't do that. In fact, they not brushing is the strength of their teeth. This was his logic. And he says, I will not. So what will happen if somebody gives up completely? You being a personal stench to others is one thing. It will decay and start creating health issues for yourself. Sin of omission. When you perform these actions, there is nobody sitting there trying to, you know, praise every act of yours. Nitya karma. See, when the child is young, small, you're introducing brushing. I'm still holding on to that example. You teach them, so you get them those, those character brushes, a Spider-Man brush, or a teddy bear brush, or if there's a girl, then they have those mermaid, or what is the other one? Barbie! Barbie toothbrush. And then you sit and then they do this tooth times and they say, good job! Now rinse your mouth. Give me a fight. Good. See, you try to inculcate that habit into them. Now, whatever age that you are and however long you have been practicing, do you expect cheerleaders? That every day you brush your teeth. Nobody appreciates me doing my nitya karma. Can you all lift your hand? Good. Can it bend backwards? Ek bar shabashi le. Every time you feel nobody is appreciating, do that. Shabash. I learned this from kids. The second thing is, when you really crave for some attention, why do you need somebody else? See, the toothbrush and your brushing, do you need an appreciation every day? It's your nitya karma and nobody is going to appreciate it. And yet you have to do your nitya karma. If you don't, there is a sin of omission. Now expand that nitya karma. You taking care of your family, husband, wife, children, mother, parents, in-laws, outlaws, all of that. There can be that frustrated moment. How long do I take care? Enough is enough. As I said, if you want to continue this next life, you can call it, you can quit. As I finish once and for all here and now. Transcend it. Be done with it. How long? As long as it takes. But when I'm doing all these things, nobody appreciates it. I'm taken for granted. When you're doing your nitya karma, you're supposed to be taken for granted. You will not be appreciated. And yet you have to perform your nitya karma diligently. And this is indicating into that aspect. So Vedas have said that nitya karma cannot be given up. Because you give up, it gives dosha of sin of omission. Shrutir jagau tasmat sada karyam idam mumukshuna. Nanu swatantra dhruva karya karini విద్యా న కించ మనసాప్యపేక్షతే. అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ స్టిల్ ఇన్సిస్ట్ దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ అలోన్ ఈజ్ రిక్వైర్డ్ అండ్ కర్మ హ్యాస్ నో రోల్, దెన్ యు ఆర్ డ్రీమింగ్. దెన్ యు ఆర్ డ్రీమింగ్ దట్ వాట్ యు ఆర్ సేయింగ్ ఈజ్ ఎనీథింగ్ సబ్స్టాన్షియల్. కంటిన్యూయింగ్ ద సేమ్ థాట్ ఇన్ ద 13th శ్లోక. న సత్యకార్యోపి హి యద్ యద్ యద్వదధ్వరః సత్యకార్యోపి హి యద్వదధ్వరః ప్రకాంక్షతేన్యానపి కారకాదికాన్ క్షతేన్యానపి కారకాదికాన్ తథైవ విద్యా విధితః ప్రకాశితైః. విశిష్యతే కర్మభిరేవ ముక్తయే. This is just as all these various actions performed require various limbs. So to perform an action you need karta, you need, you know, there is a shloka in Bhagavad Gita, you know, adhishthanam tatha karta. So there are 5 elements, and he'll talk about it further. So you need 5 components to perform an action. Similarly, jnana is one of the components and karma is a part of it for moksha. Because Vedas have insisted on karma. Now both quoting scriptures. If somebody was not quoting scriptures, you could say that, you know, this is what scriptures say, move forward. Now both are efficiently quoting scriptures. One says only jnanat eva tu kaivalyam. And the other says karma is also equally important. Without karma, what can you do? So Bhagavan gives an answer to all these 3 steps, 3 layers of karma, and it's, as I said, it is going to be tough. Did you understand the 3 opposing shlokas about karma? If you did not understand the problem, when I get into the solution, you will not get what the solution is talking about. So if you did not understand it, say it. Once, twice, thrice, gone. Okay, now we'll go into the 14th shloka. Kechid vadanti iti vitarka vadinah. తదప్యసదృష్ట విరోధకారణాత్ దేహాభిమానాద్ దేహాభిమానాద్ అభివర్ధతే క్రియాః. అభిమానాద్ అభివర్ధతే క్రియాః విద్యాగతాహం కృతితః ప్రసిద్ధ్యతి. ప్రసిద్ధ్యతి. సో హియర్ భగవాన్ సేస్ కేచిత్ వతంతి ఇతి వితర్కవాదినః. సీ, ఇన్ మోడ్ ఆఫ్ కమ్యూనికేషన్ దేర్ ఇస్ సంథింగ్ కాల్డ్ సంవాద. సంవాద డిస్కషన్. It happens between many times, you know, people under one roof, so you will have different opinions. So it starts with Srimati uvacha, Shripati uvacha. It's still discussion. And then decibel levels increase. Then samvada becomes vada. సంవాద వాద. అండ్ దెన్ ఇట్ టేక్స్ టు వితండవాద. What is Vitandavada? Whatever you say, I am going to oppose. Just because you are saying it. And whatever I am proposing, even if it is foolish, even if it is flawed, I am going to stand by it. Why? Because you are opposing it. There is no logic behind. It's like the kids say, why are you doing it? Just cause. Cause what? Cause. Why? Stuff. Yeah? Similar logic, Vitandavada. That Vitandavada is also known as Vitarkavadinaha. So Bhagavan says, Kechit Vatanti. You know, many people, he just brushes the entire three shlokas aside by saying it is Vitarkavadinaha. But when you are talking logic, you cannot brush everything aside with the statement that, you know, this is not logical. You have to prove why it is not logical. You have to substantiate the statement. So he says here, tadapi sadrishta virodha karanat. Why do you say this is erroneous logic or illogical? It is because of drishta virodha karanat. Tadapi asat drishta virodha karanat. Because of obvious contradictions. What contradictions are you talking about? Karma increases ahankara and deha tadatmya. Whereas jnana annihilates that ego and deha tadatmya. What does karma do? It increases deha tadatmya. What does deha tadatmya mean? Identification with the conviction that I am this body. Therefore, every person who behaves and lives in this world as a body, upasana is a must. Why? What does upasana do? It replaces the conviction of dehatma buddhi with ishvara buddhi. That replacement has to happen. You cannot suddenly rush and close your eyes and say, I'll now meditate. Try. It's a free world. You can do whatever you please like doing. But will it be beneficial? Am I making this up? Because in 12th chapter Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks this very specific question between Saguna Sakara and Nirguna Nirakara. And Bhagavan does not answer which one is Sreshtha. What does he say? Klesho dhikatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta higatir. You guys know everything, man. Dukkham. Directly plunging into the nirguna nirakara will lead to dukkha because you cannot even relate to it, associate with it. So why does upasana be given? When you have done these upasana processes, there is karma, anga, nyasa. Have you read Vishnu Sahasranama, Rudram? I'm trying to remember which one would be appropriate. Like in Rudram, Agnir me vachashrataha vag hridaye hridayam mayi aham amrute amritam brahmani. It is called nyasa. If you look at the word, sannyasa also is the root word from that word nyasa only. So there are two meanings for that word nyasa. Completely to renounce everything is called nyasa. That's one meaning. The second meaning of nyasa is to completely invoke and abide in is also called nyasa. Therefore, the rule is, before you can perform the puja or the archana, aradhana in the morning as upasana, rudro bhutva rudram archayet. First, invoke that divinity within to worship that divinity out there. Arudraha rudram ma archayet. So the upasana is to invoke that rudratva and then perform the puja. Vishnum bhutva Vishnum archayet. Having invoked that, because you are going transcending beyond the body identification, that is the abhyasa. That is the purpose of upasana. Now here he says, what does the karma do? Karma increases your deha abhimanat abhivardhate kriyaha. How much time do you spend? Let's start from morning. Okay. How much time do you spend sleeping? Average 8 hours. Sometimes more, sometimes less, give or take 4 or 5 hours. Eight hours average. Then when the alarm goes off, there are no children here, right? Only truth be spoken. The moment alarm goes up, good! Today morning again, let me get back. Do you get up immediately? What do you do? You know, reach out for it and then, that is the best part of sleep. You can feel the warmth of the quilt above, warmth of the bed below, snuggle inside and then on. Do I have to get up? Really? Second, you slept 8 hours and while waking up, this is the natak every day. And then once you wake up, it's called time expandability theory. I hold the royalty on that theory. In my proposed theory, I created it. You will see the theory. What is the theory? What time do you wake up in the morning? It depends. I know it depends is a very convenient answer. On an average, when do you wake up? 6 o'clock. When do you get out of the house? 8 o'clock. So you wake up at 6 o'clock, you get out of the house by 8 o'clock. So you have 2 hours to do what? To take your shower, you know, put on clothes, take care of the breakfast, take care of lunch and all these things put together, it conveniently spreads across 2 hours. Has it ever happened that you woke up 6:45, 7 o'clock? That shower which you take for I don't know how many. 5 minutes? 5 minutes? Who takes shower for 5 minutes? Pagal hai? Just got from that, you know, it's just so warm water. It actually cleans up the pores. Achha, theek hai. So 5 to whatever time. So what is the abhyasa being done? Without the strong abhyasa of japa or any other process, the abhyasa that is being done is dehaha aham asmi, dehaha aham asmi, dehaha aham asmi, dehaha aham asmi. Deha aham asmi. No, I was not talking about lipstick here, it was chapstick. So much of focus only on that. And then you spend how much time on that body? To earn so that you can bring food on the table. And once that food is there on the table, you have so much time in preparing, cleaning, and sometimes when the kids are home on holidays, the parents are praying, when will they get back to their school? I know. It's only that mushy, small, sweet feeling of, oh, kids are back. One day. By the second day. Because the morning breakfast, hota hi nahi, you have just fed them. You have to already start thinking and preparing for lunch. As you are preparing for lunch and you are prepared and you have to clean up and everything, lunch is done. Snakes. Chai and some snack. As that is done, your dinner. As dinner is done, you are preparing for tomorrow's. Continuously, one after the other, after the other. How many hours we spend? Sometimes I think, you know, we should have a mantra or a capsule. One capsule, and then for next rest of the life, no thought about food. Jhanjati nahi. I was sitting, eating. That's what I was sharing with you the other day. One meal, 3 hours, go out at 11:30, come back by 3:30. No, 4 hours. Just for one meal. That much they have bhyasa. And while you are eating, Adi Shankaracharya puts it very simple, very beautiful. He says, do not waste too much of time trying to analyze. And for some people, it has to be extremely hot. It has to be. He says, Kshud vyadhischa chikitsyatam. Kshud, hunger is like a disease. And the food is like the medicine. Do you eat the medicine because you like the taste of it? Or because it is a necessity? You have some fever, body pain, or Tylenol, or you take a Tylenol. That was amazing. I didn't realize this flavor of it. Do you make an analysis of it? Or pop it in, shove it down with some water, done with it. Food also to be looked at that perspective. Eat it as medicine. Be thankful that it is there. And eat it so that it fills in as a medicine at that appropriate time. There we sit and we start analyzing and doing a lot of so much time again on that. So continuously every karma that we are doing, what are we promoting? Constantly the idea that I am this body, I am this body, I am this body, I am this body. By mistake, once in a while, satsang, which says, Mano buddhya hankara chitta ninaham nacha shrotra jihve nacha ghrana netre. Wow, so beautiful. We learn. We sing, but like a parrot. Parrot also sings, it seems. I have not seen one. The Hindi also there is a saying, right? Totte ki tarah ratte rehte. How many of you have heard that Vishnu Sahasranama and Bhajagovindam CD or cassette? MS Subbalakshmi. Many of you, you know. So what we even memorize the tune. Bhaja Govindam. What is it addressing? Govindam Bhaja Moodhamate. who is Adi Shankara calling Moodhamate? Not your spouse. Pata nahi. The bhava, the meaning has to be understood. We just memorize. And then every day, every single practice, whatever we are action we are performing, is just strengthening the concept that I am this body. Though we don't do the abhyasa, I don't know if you do it, it'll be weird. Do you anybody do this kind of abhyasa every day early morning? You know, if you are a man, aham purushaha asmi. Aham kevalaha purushaha. Purushoham, purushoham, purushoham. Do you do such practice? Don't shock me by saying yes. It was a redundant question. Or if you are a stri, natus purushaha, natu purushaha, aham kevalaha. Stri, stri. Do you do any such upasana? But look at the identity. How strong it is. That even if you wake up somebody in the middle of deep sleep, try it at your own risk. In a deep sleep, wake them up. Ask them, are you man or woman? Nobody gets confused. Sochne do. Let me think. They will get irritated that you have woken up in the middle of the sleep, but they'll never get confused. Unknowingly, intimately, the sadhana that is happening is, I am limited, I am this body, I am this body, I am this body. When I have not come into the shopping complex, that's another funny thing. Every time I walk into this mall, we talk about Vedanta and renunciation while there is a complete display of enticing things which almost is screaming out, pick me, pick me. So much that we spend, even if you look at the national level awareness, there's one timing wherein all the advertisements in the TV are about restaurants. This is just before lunchtime. After lunch, all the advertisements about acidity, heart reflexes and all. Little late in the afternoon, all the exercise machines. Because they are obsessed with... What are they obsessed? Body. When you go to India, they're obsessed with not just body, but the color of the body. Fair and lovely, fair ever. How does it matter? Black, brown, white, it doesn't matter. That is the color of the skin. If you don't believe me, peel it and see your zone. Underneath it is the same kind of texture of muscle and the blood. And now it has gotten into such a grip that even special creams for men to whiten them up. I tell you, white skin has left us 60 plus years ago, but that enslaved mentality to look white has not gone. And that too is Dehabhyasa, Dehabhimana. Every karma performed morning till evening is nothing but the focal point is, I am this body. It is reiterating it deeper and deeper and deeper. And what does Vidya do? Knowledge do? It is trying to break Gata Aham Krititaha Prasidhyati. The knowledge verily removes that ego which is identifying. Karma increases that identification. Jnana removes that identification. Therefore, both of them cannot be put in same platform. They both cannot be complementing each other. And sometimes we hear parents say, you know, we are trying to give our children the best of East, best of West. East philosophy is trying to say that go introvert. West philosophy is saying that go outside. So one boat going towards New York and the other boat going towards London, and you want to have your foot on both of it. What will happen? Edgatva ananivartante taddhama paramamtava. You will end up sinking in wherein there is no return. Vidya takes towards breaking all these conditionings. Karma takes us to strengthening these conditionings and binding us in it. Therefore, they both cannot be combined together. Therefore, karma can never ever give happiness. Then, you know, utter frustration. I keep performing actions and it does not give me happiness. Why do I need to perform? Only for one reason. To remove the existing volumes of vasana layers. And how do you remove them? By recognizing what is our responsibilities, duties and obligations, and to perform them selflessly, offering it to a higher altar. It's the same action that you are performing, the same people that you are interacting with, but the attitude with which you are interacting, the bhavana or the bhava shuddhi with which you are interacting, is that is what Gurudev puts it in our pledge. Service to the nation is the service to the Lord of Lords. And devotion to the people is the devotion to the Supreme Self. You are serving the same wife, same husband, same child. But through them, it is that Narayana who is worshipped through them. That act of dedication, that act of selflessness will clean that layers of vasana out. When you put the cloth in the washing machine, the first round of water that comes out, have you seen the color of it? How is it? Black, brown, dirty, murky color, right? Looking at that dirty water come out, will you pull the clothes out? It is all bringing out dirt only. You put yourself into the churning machine of Vedanta. What is the first layer of things that are going to come out? It is dirt that comes out. Stop trying to hide it. Stop trying to glamorize it. Instead, man up or own up in cleaning it up thoroughly. Cleaning what up? My own antakkarana. That is what karma is meant for. Can karma ever give happiness? It can never ever give happiness. So if you make statements like, you know, I've been doing this and I'm saddened. I'm not happy. You cannot afford to make that statement anymore. Why? Because it is a statement filled with fallacy. Karma and happiness are parallel tracks. They will never merge. So through karma to get happiness is a myth. So write down in bold, red, glaring letters in your heart. Otherwise we will put it on the fridge. No, in your heart. karma cannot, will not, shall not give happiness. Once your conviction is changed that through karma I need not anticipate, that I need not create an appointment for happiness through karma, then I have not set myself up for disappointments. Then I can fulfill my responsibilities selflessly, more efficiently, without frustrations. First apply it at yourself, then talk about children. I know where you are going. So what do you talk about, you know, with children, the attachment and, you know, the expectations that I have, what should I do with that? Should I not? Let me put that two words also. Just one more minute. With children, the expectation that we are talking about, there can be classified into two expectations. The first expectation is for their good, for their upliftment, and for their betterment. The second expectation is, through their effort, I glorify myself. And it is my ego at stake through them. And they are my display boards. They are my trophies. Which kind of expectation is good one? Louder. That is your responsibility to train them to take to a newer height of perfection. So the first one is right. The second one, when they turn to become a trophy, that is a bad one. And the overlapping happens so subtly that we don't even realize what is consuming what. And having set that expectation for them, you have to also understand when to back off. Just because you are expecting it, it need not be that they flower at that time when you demand them. Wish that was a thing, right? You planted a seed and it is growing. And you stand in the morning in front of the flowers. G-sharp. And then he takes out some flowers and gives. And in the afternoon, you wake up from a nap and I said, I feel like eating some fruit. Fruits. G-sharp. And he takes out fruit. It doesn't listen to you that way. All that you can do is provide a healthy environment. And when will they flourish? When that responsibility kicks in. When they recognize it, it will flourish. Until then, what we can do is push them and give them that environment. Create an expectation for them to better their earlier best. Is a good expectation. But to expect them to extend our ego and our ego at stake through them is a bad expectation. So at your level, karma has to be performed as Narayana Seva for cleaning up from within. Jnana for moksha. He hammers this through another 10 shlokas. This one concept. Because the conviction is so strong. Because the moment I step outside, what am I looking for? That action which will give me happiness. And then we blame others. I am disappointed in you. Because you have caused anguish, sorrow, misery in my heart. When nothing from outside world can become the cause for your happiness, they cannot become the cause for your sorrow either. That is your personal choice. You are sorrowful, you are miserable, because you have chosen to be so. There are so many things that are related, that are connected in one simple shloka. Okay, I have taken 8 minutes extra, so I'll stop now. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ